The gospel from Luke chapter 21 will serve as the basis for our sermon today. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand about how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus, who's coming soon. Fellow believers in him. Actually, before we get into the sermon, Pastor Bodie's making announcements today, and I forgot to give this one to him. I want to make you aware of an event quickly that's coming up. You have the opportunity, and you're invited to be persecuted. To have somebody forcibly lay their hands on you. You're invited to have somebody take you to rendition camps or to prisons and to be intensely interrogated on behalf of your faith. You can be betrayed, murdered, and if it doesn't come to that, you can at least be hated by everybody. If you're interested in this opportunity, I have set sign-up sheets in the member room in the back, over 800 spots. Our congregation has been growing. I'm anticipating high demand for people signing up, and if the line is too long, you can talk to me because I've got some sign-up blanks here. You've got to be kidding me! If this is what Christianity is about, and you are listening to Pastor Bodie read that gospel lesson, who in their right mind would sign up for this? Maybe more to the point. Would you? Would you sign up for this? Actually, Jesus' disciples did, most of them. 11 of the 12 disciples didn't bat an eye. They knew Jesus was talking about them and their future ministry, and yet from that day forward, they went forward in ministry. They knew they were going to suffer all of these things, and they went forward out in the world preaching the gospel, facing this very stuff that he promised and predicted they would. With that same determination of faith in Jesus, would you, after this service, go into that member room and sign your name on the dotted line, make your mark with your own signature, and put it down that this includes you. You want to be a part of this, and that you're going to go out in the world with these teachings, you're going to believe them, and you are going to practice them no matter what happens. Would you? Stand firm. All of these things that Jesus said the world is going to do, you understand all of these things are types of judgment that the world is going to do to you. And think about it. To have somebody forcibly lay their hands on you and seize you, that is a judgment against you, what you believe and practice. To have somebody take you secretly as a prisoner to a rendition place or specifically to prison, That is a judgment against you that your religion is a threat. To have somebody bring accusations against you because of your faith in Jesus Christ and take you to public trial and put you on display, ruin your reputation, and likely have a judge say something against you by way of a sentence? I mean, clearly they're trying to get a judgment against you for family and friends to betray you, murder you, for all the world to hate you because of Jesus. That certainly looks at you as somebody who is an enemy to the world because of the simple Christian teachings and faith and Savior that you believe. There's just one thing, just one little asterisk to all of that. Something you need to keep in mind. All of these judgments the world brings against you for your faith, they're not the last one. They're not the last judgment. They're not the judgment where Jesus himself stands on this earth and makes the final judgment over everyone and everything. That's the last judgment. Not what the world is going to do, but what Jesus is going to decide and do on that day, over which nobody can overrule anything. And for you, who stands firm in Jesus through faith and against the world, Jesus gives you some of the sweetest gospel in the last two verses of today's lesson. Listen to this. He says, "But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." I don't know if you realize this, but some people have up to 100,000 hair follicles on their head. 100,000. Jesus says, not one hair on your head will perish. Do you know the causes for people to lose hair? Some of the main ones? Physical? Or major stress in life? Psychological stress? High anxiety from situations can come from blood loss, can come from high fever. And if you think about the things Jesus told the disciples that they would and we would face in this world, persecution. Prison, threats from family, threats from people. People are going to hate you. People are going to do all of these things against you. I think all of those are causes for somebody to lose their hair in a lifetime. One of the things I did for today's sermon is on my computer, I looked up artists' depictions of what the Apostle Paul would have looked like. And so I just Googled imaged the Apostle Paul. And obviously it's not a scientific study or research or anything like that, but looking through all of these conceptions of what the Apostle Paul would have looked like, I found it fascinating that most of them had him with thinning hair on top or completely bald all the way around. If you understand on the missionary journeys what the Apostle Paul went through, I think you'd understand if he lost some of his hair from all of those trials and tribulations that he struggled to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what Jesus says here is about so much more than hair. Not one of the hairs of your head will be lost. What he's talking about is the total way God watches over you down to the smallest detail. He sees it when just one hair falls to the ground. He knows intimately what's happening to you. Don't think for a minute God didn't see or wasn't there that day when that spy or whoever Delilah's servant was came and snipped those braids off of Samson's hair. And his hair fell to the ground. God saw every single snip and every single hair that fell to the ground while Samson ignorantly slept. And isn't that the case? Most of the time, we don't even realize when we lose our hair. But God does. God sees every single one. Now, Samson betrayed his Lord, betrayed his faith. He didn't stand firm, and so God's presence left him. But when God's people stand firm, whether they're awake or asleep, whether they're in prison or free, whether they're coming or going, whether the day has been a tremendous success or whether you've been struggling through whatever you're facing that day, God has been there with you through every single thing that's happened and has seen it. And even more than that, this quote came up this past Monday in our pastor's conference, where somebody over 100 years ago said this: God has not led me so tenderly thus far in life to forsake me at the very gate of heaven. God is not teaching you day by day, Sunday after Sunday. God is not giving you these things so as just to abandon you on the day that he stands on the earth for last judgment. God is not Samson. God does not betray his promises or his word. God takes care of his people. You understand when Jesus says to the disciples and to us, not a hair of your head will perish, he's not talking to you as if your head or your hair is going to live forever. That's not his point. It's an argument from lesser to greater. If God cares about the smallest, most intricate details of your life, even if you and I are oblivious to our hair wherever it blows, God is going to save you. God is going to preserve you. You are going to live. And that's actually what the next sentence says. By standing firm, you will gain life. Boy, the disciples needed to hear that good news. They needed to hear that gospel, because here they are standing, looking at the temple and the temple complex. Now, obviously, this originated with Solomon back in about 960, 970 BC, and it was rebuilt a couple of times to now what Herod built or rebuilt. It was an incredible place. The porticos, the gates, the decorations, the walls, all of the tunnels that went through, the architecture. The disciples are not exaggerating when they look at just how beautiful the temple complex was in all of its glory back then. It would have been incredible. And yet for Jesus to say, not one stone is going to be left on another, as they're looking out at this and what God had built in the past through the people, their hearts must have just been ripped out to envision the total destruction that was going to come. And yet Jesus warns them about something that's even worse. And he warns us too, when he says, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. No matter how beautiful the buildings are, wherever you are, whether you go to Rome or whether you go to London, wherever you go, China the Great, if you go see, no matter what the elaborate nature of the buildings are, no matter how polished and how smooth-talking the people are, and these newfangled ideas they bring that are different from the teachings of your parents and your grandparents, and especially what they handed down to you from the Word of God, no matter what new wisdom they claim to have that's going to save your life, that's going to do something great for you, and they've got some hidden secret wisdom. They know something about the dates and the times that no, God hasn't said in the Word, but somehow they have this wisdom. Do you understand? All they're going to do to you is the exact same the Romans did to the temple. They're going to destroy you with what they're teaching you. They're going to decimate you. They're going to tear you apart from Jesus Christ. They're going to strike your name off of his list for eternity. And they are going to rip your heart and soul out and away from Jesus, with the ultimate goal that you die in the judgment when he stands on the earth. Are you watching in faith every day for the one whose temple was destroyed and 3 days later he raised it again? Are you watching every day with the humility of repentance, that you see every day your sin, or even the sin you don't see, and you're taking it to the Lord? Are you signed up for this? and standing firm in the faith that Jesus Christ has taught you through the Word. Before we wrap up the sermon, there's one more announcement I'd like to make. There's one more event that's coming. You have the opportunity to be involved with this. Everybody is invited. I don't know when it's going to happen. But Jesus is coming. The Bible tells you so. And when he comes and stands on the earth, there's going to be no second chance. That's it. And when he comes, oh, he knows who his enemies are. And he's not going to bat an eye. He is going to punish his enemies, as our first lesson today showed. And he is going to send them to hell forever. And on that day, he is going to save his people that he dearly loves. You want to be on that list. How? How do we get on that list? Because every single time, every single day you and I sin, do you understand what we're saying to the Lord? Cross me off. Every single time we sin, it's as if we're running out the doors and running away from the Lord. How do we get on that list? We want to be there on that day with Jesus on his side. The tremendous grace of God is that even though you and I by nature would never sign up for this, God signed us up for it right there. God signed you up for glory in your baptism. He did it. Now I know you wouldn't be happy with me if I signed you up to help with the living nativity and didn't tell you about it. But God, by grace, did this for you even when you and I were dead in our sins. It's tremendous. He wants you to be there with him. God signs you up for this Sunday after Sunday, service after service, that you come here to be renewed in the truth of the Word of God, that he loves you. Trial after trial that you go through in life, persecution, tough thing that this world throws at you, the people that you have to get along with at the office, no matter what valley of the shadow of death you're walking through, what is the next line it says? But I fear no evil, for you are with me. God has been with you, just as he was with Samson, until Samson kicked God out. God has partnered with you, so closely tied and intimate with you in a miraculous way, so much so that when you're put on the spot at the office or wherever you are in the world, Jesus says God speaks through you. You don't have to be afraid of that, because God has partnered with you. He's right there with you. And when you come to the communion service at the Lord's house, God doesn't hold anything back from you, because in this supper, God gives you himself, forgiving all of your sins, no matter where you've been, for free, by his cross. God gives you his strength. He doesn't hold anything back from heaven. In fact, we call the Lord's Supper a little foretaste of heaven itself. You get to taste a little bit of your glory. Right there, in what Jesus has done for you. God signed you up for this, so that you are ready for his coming, in his strength. Stay there. Stay signed up for this. Stay in his truth. Stand against the world. Don't fall for what their walls are crumbling about. Stand in his truth. Because by standing firm, as Jesus promises, you will gain life. Amen. Please stand.